What's up, fam? Welcome back to Whoa, That's Good Wednesday. Y'all, I am so pumped because next week, my book, Live, comes out. I have been so excited for you guys to get this in your hands. Live is a book all about life, and I hope that when you read it, you just feel so renewed right where you're at in your life. But if you want to get this book like right now, it's actually possible to be the first one to get it. So get it on pre-sale. What you're going to do is go to liveoriginal.com/book, and you can buy my book today on pre-sale and get it the day that it comes out. I really hope that this book meets you right where you're at, and I know that it'll just pour life over you. Okay, also, on another note, because I'm really pumped about a lot of things right now, I know you will be too, because this week we have a very, very special guest. I know she has literally mentored the world, but today she's going to one-on-one mentor us. We have Miss Beth Moore coming on the podcast. Y'all, this is such a dream because whenever I started to think about wanting to become a speaker, like the only reference I could think of at the time, just because I didn't really know very many people being from such a small town, was Beth Moore. Oh yeah, that's what Beth Moore does. And that's what everybody would say when I said I wanted to preach. And so I've looked up to Beth Moore for a long time, as I know a lot of you have. And she is just as good as she seems. I'm telling you, you're going to be so encouraged from this conversation.
I could not be happier to be sitting across this table looking in your beautiful face
so
with those
fun
headphones on.
I know these headphones are a real fashion trend.
Yes, they really are. These big, huge mics.
The new earrings.
Yes.
But no, I'm so excited. For real. I've looked up to you for a long time, and it's just such an honor to get to have a conversation. But I got to say, thank you seriously for like pioneering the way for women's ministry, because whenever I was a senior in high school, I started to feel like a call that like I was going to go into ministry. So I knew the first year I wasn't going to go to college, and I thought maybe I'll just take a gap year and I'll just see, like, I'll say yes to what God's calling me to do. I'm not really sure.
Yes.
So people were asking me like, where are you going to college? I'm like, you know, I'm not going this year. I'm kind of taking a gap year. I think I'm going to go into ministry, going around and like speaking at different places. And everybody would be like, okay, oh, like Beth Moore does.
Oh, so, Sadie,
yes.
I love that. I love that. And you know, it's an odd thing when you're trying to just feel your way along with Jesus, because you really don't know how it's going to look.
Yeah.
And here's what I'll say to you, because he does it every single time.
Yeah.
It gives them a place to put you,
exactly,
some kind of category to put you in. But what's wonderful is for your big sisters to be able to say to you, but you know what? Thank God you don't have to be a cookie cutter of anybody else. I am this blend of all my mentors.
Yeah.
I had about four primary mentors. I feel like I'm kind of a couple of tablespoons of this one and then more of a half a cup of this one that really spent a lot. And, you know, because you become this combination of all of these
people. That's so funny you say that, because whenever they would say that, I would look at you and I'd be like, oh, yeah, well, she's really good. Like, she's really got it going on the way that Lord uses her. And I'm like, I'm just a senior in high school. But yes, that is the way that I'm going. I remember one day I told my mom, I said, Mom, everybody's been saying like Beth Moore. And I said, and Beth Moore's just so awesome. And Mom said, it was, baby, she said, you don't have to be Beth Moore. You're going to be Sadie Robertson, but learn from her and all those things.
And all the big sisters. But I want to tell you something.
Awesome.
I admire you. You're in the thick of it and you're doing the thing. And so you need to know that I am so thankful, and it will be a friend to you. It truly will. It will be a friend to you that you respect your big sisters. But I want you to hear that your big sisters respect you.
Oh, thank you.
And we see you.
Wow.
We see you and acknowledge the gift of God on you.
Wow.
So it's a fun thing.
Thank you. That means the world, literally. So I want to ask you the question we ask everybody on this podcast, and that's, what's the best piece of advice you've been given? And the reason we ask that is because, you know, we look up to so many people who sit on the other side of this microphone, and everybody, all my friends are like, you get to know them, you get to talk to them. Like, what's the advice that they give you? And so I wanted to start this podcast so that you could give them the advice.
I could probably take any one of five, six different examples, and those would have been things that really, really marked the way I walked. But one thing, especially for what I do, which is very similar to what you do, in that we're on the road, we go, and one of the women that really poured into my life said to me early on, I would not have been quite as young as you, but I was not much older than you are. She could tell already because I was beginning. By the time I was 25, I was formally speaking at various places. Wow. I would have been doing it before then, but I don't know that it would have been considered a real formal way of doing it, where you really are part of a keynote program and that kind of thing, about 25. And she said to me early on, Beth, stay attached to the local church. And I have done that all of my entire ministry life. And it's done many things for me, many things. But one primary thing is it's kept me from thinking that social media is what the church looks like today.
Yeah, that's good.
I really am plugged into a real one. Like we had a little guy that was injured this week, one of our families at church. And so I've gotten to be part of prayer toward him.
Wow.
I know what's going on in my church. I know what women's Bible studies are taking place. I know what events are coming up. I know where we're building on and restructuring some things. And that's so much safety to me because it's easy to get detached and forget that you are part of a community.
Right.
Everything now is personal, individual branding.
Yeah.
And that is just not the way God called the church to operate. So it's been a very, very important thing because it's kept me from looking out there and getting cynical.
Yeah.
Because it's like, is this the church?
Yeah.
No, no. I go to one where I really do see people praying over one another
at the
altar and see them collect money for missions. And so, God, thank you. That was early on, and that has been very important to me.
That's so good. And even for those who are listening, you know, you might follow me on Instagram, you might follow Beth on Instagram, and all these pastors, and that's so good, but still, get plugged into a local church.
100%. 100%. And you're not going to, Sadie, we need to tell them, you're not going to find the perfect one.
Yeah.
So get that out of your head. Find a Bible teaching, preaching one, and then get in there, and instead of waiting for them to realize that you're important. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
I mean, I want to go to a church that makes me feel important. You know, just go hold doors, hand out stuff.
Yeah. Y'all know I love a good story. I love hearing about a story, listening to a story, and there are so many unforgettable stories and characters out there, and Audible is here to help you discover all of them. Audible is the home of storytelling and lets you enjoy all of your audio entertainment in one simple, convenient app. They offer an amazing selection of audiobooks from every genre, like bestsellers, new releases, memoirs, mysteries, business, and more. There's always something new to discover along with your old favorites. If you're a thrill seeker, Audible is the place for you. Their selection of mystery and thriller titles, plus highly anticipated new releases, will keep your heart racing month after month. And Audible's next listen recommendation means that there's always something that you'll love at your fingertips. Audible members get full access to a growing selection of included audiobooks, Audible originals, and even podcasts. You can download or stream them wherever you would like and whenever you would like. Plus, members can pick one title every month from the entire catalog to keep. With thousands of titles, you'll definitely find something you love all in one convenient app so that you can listen anywhere, anytime. So if you're into the whole crime mystery thing, my sister actually just told me about a title called The Last Thing He Told Me by Laura Dave. And I gotta be honest, I'm not really into these kind of things because I get too scared too easily. And she was like, no, it will not scare you. You will love it. You'll be so into it. So I guess that's gonna be my next listen. So new members can try Audible now for free for 30 days. Visit audible.com/woe or text woe, W-H-O-A to 500-500. That's audible, audible.com/woe or just text woe to 500-500 to try Audible for free for 30 days. Go check it out, friends. Y'all, we all grew up at camp around here. We are camp kids. We love camp, love a good camp game, camp song. All of it is so fun. Summers at camp are definitely awesome. And my kids are too young for camp, so I got to have some other things to entertain them. And KiwiCo is a great way to bring camp right to your door. Some of the fun of camp, at least. KiwiCo delivers some seriously fun learning games for kids of all ages through hands-on projects and activities. Every month, kids receive crates packed with projects and items to help them explore explore science, technology, and art in ways that will capture their attention no matter what their age. So I mentioned our love for camp. My mom actually was the craft director at camp all my life. And so she was always doing new crafts and teaching us crafts and led all the kids in that. And so it really is fun to get to do some crafts with the kids at home, especially with KiwiCo, because they always have an educational element to them for no matter what age your kids are. So even Honey, the little crafts that KiwiCo has sent are great because it's teaching her things that I might not necessarily think to teach her at this age, but through a fun way, it helps her. KiwiCo will help you engage your child's natural curiosity and encourage them to be an innovator and creative thinker. They'll learn new skills and new connections and build the confidence that they need to navigate through the world. We have loved watching Honey and Haven grow and learn, and thankfully KiwiCo has made it so much fun along the journey. So redefine learning with play. Explore projects that build confidence and problem-solving skills with KiwiCo. Get 50% off your first month on any crate line at KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb. That's 50% off your first month at KiwiCo, KiwiCo.com with the promo code Sadie Robb.
Go serve at tables, go help out with the kids ministry. Yeah. There's a way to get involved, but yeah, that is a harbor in a storm.
Wow, that's awesome. So you kind of talked about how you started ministry really young, like 25. I actually saw that you started your ministry in like 1994, Living Proof.
That's when we incorporated.
Okay, that's amazing. So you've been doing this for years, and here we are, Live Original. We just started like 4 years ago.
Yes.
I'm 22. So just being ahead of me, what's some advice that you could give somebody starting in ministry?
Oh, I can't wait to tell you that.
I can't wait either.
I really can't put that in a nutshell.
That's
because
awesome.
I love the main age group that you're serving through your podcast, because I'm assuming like 18 to 25, late 20, something like that. And those years could not have been more critical for me, because I was 18 when I sensed the call of God.
Awesome.
I had received Jesus as my Savior as a much younger kid and made it public. That's the way we do in my tradition. But at 18, I sensed the call of God on my life. And it was not a moment before and then that moment. I mean, it really was.
That's awesome.
And yet, if you ask me, try to define exactly what happened. I didn't hear an audible voice. I didn't.
Yeah.
But I knew.
That's
and I mean,
awesome.
It was a moment I will never, ever forget where it just felt like the Holy Spirit had just surrounded me. I was in college. I was between my freshman and sophomore year of college. And I was at a camp sponsoring a group of sixth grade girls at a missions camp. And it was just early in the morning. There was, I wish I could say it was out on looking at a mountain. Of it. No, I was in a concrete bathroom about to brush my teeth in a cabin with girls asleep in a bunkhouse.
Wow.
I mean, that's where it was nothing fancy about it, but the Spirit of God fell on me there. And somehow I knew your future is His. I knew if I had to put words to it, you are mine.
Wow.
Your future is mine. And so here's the thing. I was 18, I'd been serving my church, very involved in church all my life, and serving church since I was 12 and out of Vacation Bible School.
Wow.
But I thought, well, what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
I was on my way, I was in pre-law, which I did finish that degree. I didn't know what else to do because I didn't have any instructions.
Awesome.
It's just your mind, your future's mine. So I wanted to be a lawyer. I wanted to go into government. All of a sudden, all that was off, and I just got my teacher's certificate. I thought, I'll just get everything I can because I don't know where this goes. But because I didn't know where it would go, because I didn't know what a woman could do.
Mm-hmm.
I surrendered. I cannot say how important this was and how this has carried me. I keep looking back and think, how at 18 could I have had the wherewithal to know this? But I just followed Jesus. Mm-hmm. My call was to Jesus. Mm-hmm. It was not to a particular position or kind of ministry.
Yeah.
And if anybody said, well, what do you feel called to? Jesus.
Jesus.
I mean,
Jesus.
That was it. All I know is I'm going with Him.
Yeah.
And so
what
if we do that, for those of you listening, let me tell you what a difference that makes. Because the Lord reserves the right to take you places that you are not, you've got this vision of what this is going to look like. And some parts of your life are not going to look at all like that. You're going to think, I thought I surrendered to ministry. And why am I now working at Starbucks? Why am I now? Wait, I was supposed to do this. You don't understand. Wherever He takes you.
Yeah.
Because where you are is with Jesus. Your calling was not that you were let me put it this way. I felt like one time, I've never heard him out loud, not ever, but when the Holy Spirit just like makes something real clear in your heart. And so we use language to try to express what a feeling felt like. But I felt like there was somewhere along the way that the Holy Spirit was really whispering in my heart, if I hear you say you're called to speak one more time, I'm going to pull every hair out of your head. Mm. You know, because it was kind of like, you know what you're called to do? You're called to follow me.
That's awesome. That's it.
And so that I would say to anyone. And the other thing, and I'll make this brief, I've got a lump in my throat as I say it, because this is the most meaningful thing in my life. It not only was meaningful to me then, it is the most meaningful thing to me today. Pray one thing above all other things. It is the thing that I pray for my children. It's the thing that I pray for my grandchildren. It's the thing that I pray for those that are under any kind of ministry influence that I have. Pray, every one of you listening, for a heart to love Jesus, because there is nothing you would not do for love.
Yeah.
That if your heart is caught up with him, if your primary affections are set on Christ, then when he calls you to a hard obedience, when people say to me, Beth, please don't quit, I'm not going to quit.
Yeah.
Unless Jesus is quitting. Has Jesus quit? Because when Jesus quits, I'm going to quit. Because I'm in it with him and my affections are set on him. And so because I love him, he himself is worth laying down some things. You know, I come from a life of sin. Sadie, I don't have your background. Mm-hmm. I mean, my life was a train wreck. Mm. So I had to lay down some, I mean, habitual sin and a habitual way of doing relationships. But he was so worthy of it.
Wow.
And because he's one I love more than anything in this world.
Wow, that's beautiful. Come on, following Jesus. And it's so cool because even when you read the Gospels and all the disciples, like Jesus, the call was, follow me. And it was that simple. And then they fell in love with him.
Do you love me?
Yes.
Do you
follow
love me? Yes.
And so I love that you said it was in that 18 to 25 that was the most important, because I think a lot of times the world looks at the 18 to 25, the college age, and it's like, oh, those are the years, like do whatever you want. Like that's just like your time. And I'm always like, no, this is like the most important
time.
It's so crucial.
Even at my age, I want
cool
to tell
hear you,
you
say,
I agree with you.
That's so
because
cool.
You're making decisions that are so profoundly impacting the rest of your life.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean that some of those can't. We change directions, of course. We get to repent. Thank God. All of those things turn around. Thank God. But right now, so many huge decisions are being made.
Yeah.
And it's also just a wonderful time to go, I'll go wherever you lead me.
Yeah.
And I will give it everything I got wherever you put me.
So good. I love it. Well, you mentioned how you've never audibly heard the voice of God, but you hear his spirit. You know when the spirit is speaking to you.
Yes.
And so I want to talk to you a little bit about that, but I know you have a new book out, Chasing Vines,
coming out.
I love it because I listened to the book trailer and you were like talking about like, I was just sitting in a vineyard. And then, and like, even that, it's like, how are you just sitting in a vineyard and all of a sudden you have this book idea and that's like hearing the voice of God? I want you to kind of talk about that so people can understand it.
I'd love to, because of course we're talking right now to people that may not even know it, that they're authors, teachers. I love to talk about how is it a concept, the seed in your heart becomes something like a book.
Yeah.
And for me, I've used very often the idea of if you see a train on a track, when something begins to burn in my heart, then I'm assuming, okay, I start small. It may be that, okay, really God's speaking to me through that. Maybe I'm going to put that on social media. Maybe I'm going to tweet that. Maybe I'm going to Instagram that.
Yeah.
Well, say then that the passion doesn't go away. Like I can't quit thinking about it. It's probably going to become an article.
Yeah.
Okay. Say I write the article. And so you keep seeing that train moving ahead on that track. And so I get that article written and I think that'll do it. No, it doesn't. I still can't quit thinking about it. And every major Bible study, it has been exactly the same way. I've tried to do whatever was the immediate thing and it didn't satiate. So then it becomes almost invariably something I speak on. And then this is going to be it. I went and spoke on the vineyard, on the vine and the branches, right after I was in Tuscany. I had a speaking engagement about a week and a half later. It was the natural thing. I went and taught John chapter 15, thought this is done. Oh, no, it wasn't. By that time, when I can't get the passion to go away, at this point, about 19 Bible studies in and maybe 15 regular books, that has been the pattern.
Awesome.
And I want somebody to hear this. I always have written out of my own passion. Mm-hmm. I don't want to judge this in any way, but people go, what do you think I should write on next? They'll put it out on social media. And I'm just going like, I don't know how that works.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works. Unless you're into research or something. But it's like, I write on what I'm passionate about.
Me too.
That's the only thing that pushes that pen across the page and then makes you put up with all the editing and then all the waiting and all the doing then when it comes out. So that's what's worked for me. And that's what happened that day. I'm visual. And I would imagine you are too.
Yeah.
And so just staring out at that vineyard and watching those gatherers clip off those last clusters.
Wow.
I mean, it was like John chapter 15 was lived out in front of my eyes. And I said it was the day I got a grape crush.
That's awesome.
It was my grape crush. I fell in love with that whole metaphor.
A grape crush. Yeah. That's awesome.
Yeah.
So I love this line. You talk about how life's not always fun, but it can always be fruitful.
Yeah.
Kind of expand on that, because I always talk about the fruit of spirit to so many people, because a lot of people are like, yeah, but God's not doing anything in my life right now. And I'm like, yeah, but you have the fruit of the spirit if you have God. And so I love that line. I was like, yes, yes. So kind of expand on what that looks like.
Sadie, you know, I want to tell you one way anybody around you that has any miles on them can tell that the Spirit of God is working in you. Right now, I'm talking straight to you, is because that you said to whoever that was is a profound truth.
Yeah.
When we say, God's not doing anything in me right now, I mean, I also want to go, did you open the scriptures this morning? Because he who spoke, let there be light, and there was.
Yeah.
Spoke to you in your dorm room, in your kitchen, on your walk to your class. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
What do you mean God's not doing anything?
Yeah.
He spoke his word to you this morning. If his spirit dwells in you, gives you the capacity to love someone, you don't have the wherewithal to love. You don't even like them. You don't even like them. What do you mean he's not doing much? Did you walk past somebody that is rolled up in a ball on the sidewalk and you can tell that they could really use a little bit of help? And were you able to do anything at all? What do you mean God's not working in your life? I think we miss so much of what God is doing waiting for the big thing.
Yeah.
But he's saying, you know, I wanted to train you where nobody's looking.
Yeah.
I want to know if what you're doing is so that you can perform for people. Think of it in advance. Oh, I'm going to do this. Then I can take a picture of it and Instagram my good works. Listen, one of the things about God is he's onto our bull.
Yeah.
He is so onto it. He is so onto it because he's going like, oh, he's forever, ever going after that motive. And what is it I'm doing in the dark in you that nobody can see? And I would say to anybody, walk with him in the daily. Walk with him in the daily. That you're just even over a test at school, Lord, I need you to remind me. I need to remind me that you're active with him every day. And then tell me, God's not doing anything.
Yeah. That's so good.
He got you through again today.
Yeah. Obviously, you talk about scripture all the time, being rooted in God's word.
Yes.
And I've learned a lot about that from you. And so many people ask me this question. They're like, Sadie, I want to read the Bible, I want to get started. But how do I get started? How do you get so passionate about it? So what did that journey look like for you? Like, when did you fall in love with the word?
Oh, I love this. I love this, Sadie, because when I was 18, and somebody's going to be listening to this that knows exactly what I'm talking about, I had all the desire I wanted to, but I was like exactly what you described. So by this time, I was already doing lots of things in ministry, like taking those girls to camp and really active at my church with the youth. And at my college, I was chaplain of my sorority. I was very vocal with my faith, but I was in the scriptures to the degree that, you know, you just know that you're supposed to. So I'm read me some scriptures, whatever, and had a little journal and was doing, you know, what I knew to do, but I didn't love it yet. I mostly thought at that point of any Bible reading as discipline, not as just the delight of my life. But listen, there's nothing wrong with that, because there are days you're reading it because it's a spiritual discipline to do it. But I want to push that envelope just a little bit further, because you have to see it. You have to see it. If you don't see it modeled, you don't even know it exists. But so I was already going place to place and doing what I would call Christian motivational speaking, inspirational speaking. And, you know, a few verses here and there, but I'd not come to teach yet.
Yeah.
I get asked at my church to substitute teach for a Sunday school class of a woman that's going to be out for maternity leave. Mm-hmm. So I thought, what difference could a year make? I could do that. I could teach Sunday school for a year. Well, I got in there and I just got a very, very outgoing personality. I thought, well, we're going to have so much fun. Mm-hmm. And let me tell you, we did. Let me tell you, we did. That class was absolutely packed. You couldn't have gotten another person in there if you had tried. But I was terrible. I mean, I was terrible. I was fun. Don't misunderstand me. But I did not have a clue what I was doing. Yeah. I did not have a clue what I was doing. I was 27. I could get a verse and talk around it. And I think to myself all the time, why did you use a quarterly? I mean, we had actual materials the church gave. I was way too cool for that. Way too cool for that. And I was an aerobics teacher at the same time. So I was bringing all of that energy, you know, grapevine, all those moves. We were doing all those things in the spirit. So
that's awesome.
In the church bulletin, there's this thing that says Bible doctrine class. And it's starting in a couple of Sundays. And we were talking about that inaudible voice of God in us. It was like a thunderous word within my heart, like, go. I mean, the Lord was like, put us both out of our misery. And so I got my pens and I got my notebook and I thought, well, I'm going to go to the Bible doctrine class. And got there that Sunday and there were only about 15 of us in there. And it was like, I was glad to be there, but I was probably not going to want to go out to supper with any of them. You know what I'm saying? I just couldn't tell. Nobody looked really fun.
Yeah.
And I thought, but you know, we do this because this is godly. This is godly. You do this because you're godly. And so, you know, I just sat there trying to be godly. And this dude walks up to the podium. I'm not a very emotional person publicly, but I, to this day, almost cannot tell this story without crying. He walks up to the podium, just in a small Sunday school room, opens up his Bible, and he begins to teach us. And he doesn't have a thunderous voice. Sadie, what you and I picture as an orator, none of those things. What he did is he loved the scriptures better than he loved his food.
Mm.
I cannot express to you what I saw in that man's face. And as he taught it, his eyes just sparkled and the tears sat up on the lids of his eyes. Just by virtue, he would read a portion of Ephesians and he'd not be able to read it. And I was mesmerized. And I could not take a note. I did not know anybody. I'd seen people love Jesus, but I had never seen anybody just love the scriptures like that. And I don't think I ever turned to a scripture. I just sat there and stared at him. I thought, what? He was an alien to me.
Wow.
He might as well have been a Martian. And I walked out of there. I didn't stay after nothing. I walked out of that class. It was a Sunday evening, and I got in my car, and I shut the door, and I burst into tears, and I said, I don't know what that was, but I want it. And God gave it to me. And He so wants us to love His word that anyone who prays for Him to give him or her that love for it, it's going to come alive. In fact, I'm going to tell you today, because somebody's listening that's 19, 20, maybe you're 16, maybe you're 24. Listen, I'm saying start praying it today. Lord, give me a supernatural love for the scriptures. Make it exhilarating and exciting to me. Give me the fervor for it. And here's what I want to tell you today. If you ask that in your car, wherever you are right now, I want you then to follow it up and go, thank you so much that you're going to do it. Because the word of God says in 1 John chapter 5, if we ask according to his will, we will receive what we have asked. And I promise you, if I know my first name from my last, if I know Genesis from Revelation, I promise you, if you pray that, and don't just pray it once, I still pray these things on a continuous basis. Lord, give me a supernatural love for your son and give me a supernatural love for your word. And he continues to give me that fervor. And that's what will do it. If we just continue to look at it for discipline, then we won't have the enjoyment out of it.
Yeah.
He'll blow your mind, blow your mind to bits with his brilliance if you want him to.
Wow, that's so powerful. Well, I don't think
We could end it in a better way than that. And I'm sure a lot of people are sitting in their car soaking on that right now. Take some time, let it soak. Pray into that right now. Don't miss this opportunity to even respond in your car and pray that prayer that God would just enlighten your eyes and just you'd fall so much more in love with his son and his word. And Beth, I can't thank you enough.
I've had a blast.
I just want to say, like, to everybody listening, you know, obviously I was a little nervous about today just because I look up to you so much. I just respect you so much. But you are the most personable, loving person. And it has been such a joy and so life-giving to sit with you. And so thank you for just being such a great example to so many people and just leading the way. It's awesome.
I'm so proud of you, Sadie. I almost don't have words for it. Girl, do that thing God has called you to do.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
That was so awesome.
Sadie, you're so good.
Hey, everybody. Today, we're going to change it up a little bit. And no, I'm not going to stick with this accent. We're actually changing it because Christian is going to interview me.
In a British accent.
And oh, wow. Now, this is really getting spicy. And so what we're going to do is take the questions that you guys send in on Good and Bad Advice from the Whoa, That's Good Instagram account. Thank you so much. And Christian's going to ask me if I think it is good or bad advice.
So here are some questions that can either be good or bad advice. Okay, I'm going to stop talking. Okay. Work smarter, not harder.
Personally, I'm going to say it's not like very relatable advice to me because sometimes I don't feel like I'm super smart in an area of life, but I feel like if I work really hard, then I can achieve it.
That's good.
Like my favorite quote says, I've quoted so many times on the show, one day we're going to do like a recap of what's good. And it's going to be like me saying this like over and over and over again. But Albert Einstein, wisdom is not the product of schooling, but of the lifelong attempt to acquire it. Work harder, not smarter.
That used to be a poster in your room.
It did.
All right. Two ears, one mouth. Listen twice as much as you speak.
Is this a riddle?
I don't know. It says two ears, comma, one mouth,
dash. One mouth, listen harder than you speak.
No, listen twice as much as you speak.
Listen twice as much as you speak. Actually, I think that's good advice. And I think that's biblical advice because it says be quick to listen, slow to speak.
That's so true.
Slow to become angry.
Okay. Who does this remind you of? Don't smell it. Just eat it really fast. Good or bad advice?
Who does that remind me of? You?
Me.
I've never seen anybody eat faster than Christian Huff. Like, literally, it'll be like a cheeseburger and fries, and I'll turn around and be like, whoa, did like a vacuum cleaner just walk by? Like, it's insane.
And I can't smell either, so that does not really apply to me.
Yeah.
Try everything.
That's bad advice.
Horrible advice.
Horrible. Like, go for it in life. Like, try new things, but don't try everything.
Yeah,
bad
that's
advice.
Not good. That's really bad advice.
Steer clear.
Okay. Dream as if you will live forever. Live as if you will die today.
So many of these are making my brain hurt. Wait, say it one more time.
Dream as if you will live forever. Live as if you will die today.
I like that. I really do. Because
you got to ponder it for a second.
I got to say, I wrote a chapter in my book. Shout out to my book, Live. Go buy it right now. But I wrote a chapter about living as if you would die today. And not in like a like sad way, and like a really exhilarating way, because you know we don't know how many days we have to live. And as I was singing that song, like I went sky,
I was just about to say
yeah,
that.
Like that song,
shout out to McGraw,
like I always sing that song, but then the day that I went skydiving, I listened to that song all day long, and it gave me like a whole new like perspective of that song. So I started to read into it, and the people that wrote the song, like his friend, like genuinely thought that he had this like doctor's report, that he got a bad doctor's report, basically that he said he wasn't going to live very long. So he went out and did all these things that he had always wanted to do. Well, then he goes back to the doctor and they said, oh, we're so sorry. That was a false report. You actually don't have anything wrong with you. You were just born with that. And so he's like, well, like there was nothing wrong with me, yet I lived my life in the past few weeks so much better than before. And think about that. It's like, what am I holding back and not doing because I'm just like living life easy or taking life for granted? And so I really like that piece of advice.
I do too. Yeah. I remember when I went 2.7 seconds on a bull named Flu Masher.
Tries not to laugh at self.
Okay. This is the last one. It's kind of confusing to me though. You can make it. Gun it.
You can make it. Gun it. Oh, like in the car. Like you can make it. Gun it. I'm going to say bad advice because we have lots of parents listening and police officers who we're very thankful for. And we should not be gunning it because we're going to get there when we get there and it's all going to be all right, kids. All right?
Go the speed limit.
Go the speed limit. Christian, you have any advice on that? Go the speed limit.
70 means 70.
Yep. Somebody just got a lesson recently. Well, fam, I hope that y'all received so much good advice today. We love y'all. We're thankful for y'all's advice that you send in, and we'd love to talk about it. So keep sending it in to the Whoa, That's Good Podcast Instagram. And yeah, let's stay connected.
Woohoo!
Thank you so much for listening to the Whoa, That's Good podcast. I have so much fun doing this. I hope y'all have fun listening. And don't forget to follow me on Instagram at LegitCityRob and follow the podcast at Whoa, That's Good podcast. Head on over to liveoriginal.com to see when I'm in a city near you, or visit Live Original blog on our online store, which carries my exclusive Words by City Rob line. Also, be sure to subscribe to my podcast and leave comments so we can hear what you're loving. I want to give a special shout out to my audio engineer, Marcus DePaula, the whole team at United Talent Agency, and my Live Original team. You guys are awesome. And hey, so are all of you too. Thanks so much for listening.